This is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They put out these volumes, the Otzer Lekutei Sichos. Lubavitcher Rebbe's writings are, needless to say, very, very expansive. Many, 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 many volumes. But they did a great service to Klal Yisrael. They took some of his Torahs and they tried to make them a little bit more compact, a little bit more accessible. So there's a beautiful three-volume set called Otzer Lekutei Sichos on Chumash and Moadim, with a few pieces on each parsha and a few pieces on each holiday. So in the third piece on Purim, we have a Torah from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which he gave over originally in 1984. I was 3 years old at the time. I don't remember it. I wasn't there. But okay, let's delve into it. I'm sure many of us know the famous Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah about the Suda that took place between Rabbah and Rabbi Zera. When the Gemara introduces, and I'm not going to read, we have 6 pages here, I'm not going to read every word, we're just going to kind of outline this topic, but I'll highlight, you know, which parts we want to read inside. But the Gemara says that Rava's famous statement, Machayev inish libisume bepuraya ad deloyada ben aro haman levarach Mordechai. Famous quote, the Gemara tells us in Megillah Daf Zion, Rava is the one who has the statement, a person is obligated to become intoxicated on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And then the Gemara tells the following story. The Gemara says that one time, Rabbah and Rabbi Zera were having a Purim Suda together. Avdu Sudas Purim Bahadi Hadade. They had a Purim Suda together. And Ifsum, and they became intoxicated. And here's the line that we have to try to solve today. Kom Rabbah Shachte L'Rabbi Zera. Rabbah got up and he slaughtered Rabbi Zera. He was so drunk, he killed Rabbi Zera. Right? Crazy. Shechted him. Rabbah shechted Rabbi Zera. Very hard to imagine. Lamachar, the next day, I guess the morning after, Boi Rachameh, he davened for him. He beseeched Hashem's mercy. Va'achyeh, and he revived him. He brought him back to life. Unbelievable. An unbelievable miracle. Lishana, you've heard this Gemara before? How many people, by a show of hands, have heard this Gemara before? Rabbah and Rabbi Zera? Okay, good. So Rabbah shechted Rabbi Zera. Then he brought him back to life. Lishana, the next year, Amarlei, Rabbah said to Rabbi Zera, Nesi mar v'na'ave tzudas Purim b'hadei adadei. You want to get together for Purim again? Let's get together for the Purim Suda. Now, what would you do if someone shechted you and then brought you back to life? Amarlei, he said to him, thanks, but no thanks. Lo b'chol shata v'shata misrach yeshnisa. Not b'chol shata v'shata, not all the time do miracles occur. Misrach yeshnisa, do miracles occur. So thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to pass. I think I'm going to have Purim Suda with someone else this year. Friends, this is a very difficult story. As the Lubavitcher Rebbe noted, it's a very difficult story. And he's not the first one, obviously, to note that, right? Everyone struggles with this story. Could it be that Rabbah came to murder Rabbi Zera? He was so drunk on Purim that he shechted, he killed Rabbi Zera. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe first gives us a little bit of the background from what some of the great sources before him, you know, came to interpret. He quotes, for example, the opinion of the Maharsha. Maharsha, in his classic commentary of the Agadata in the back of the Gemara, the Maharsha says, Shelo hayakan inyan shel misa mamish. Can't be, Maharsha says, it can't be Rabbah shechted Rabbi Zera. It must mean that what? Ke'ein shechte. It was like shechita. Where do you shecht the person? You don't shecht their arm. Right? Well, you don't shecht the person. Let's start with that. You don't shecht the person. But where does one shecht an animal? Right? You don't shecht the animal's arm or its leg. You shecht its neck. So why would the Gemara use the term he shechted Rabbi Zera? When a person drinks, right? If a person drinks too much, so they feel it in their throat. They feel it in their neck. That apparently what happened was that Rabbah got Rabbi Zera so drunk, right, that he forced him, he encouraged him to drink so much that he got to the point that he was on the verge of death, right? He felt this tightness in his throat, right? Like, you know, when a person has too much to eat or drink and they literally can't swallow anything more. So that's like shechting him. It's not that he killed him, God forbid, but he became very, very sick, says the Maharsha. And then he davened for him and he had a refuah. Okay, but God forbid, there's no way he killed him, he didn't shecht him. He gave him too much to drink to the point where he felt like he was, you know, he was nauseous to the point of very, very ill. Dangerously ill. Okay. The Yavitz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, in his Hagos, in his comments, also says, Shalosh Achtu Mamish, can't be. Not that he shechted him. Eleba Achiza Sein Naim, right? He did something, I don't know, maybe they were going wild on Purim, right? And he did something, Achiza Sein Naim is usually like a modern term for like a magic trick, right? He did something that had the appearance of shechting him. I don't know, maybe he like grabbed the challah knife and he was swinging it around in a wild and drunken state. To the point that the other people at the Suda, Shaharoim Hayusavurim Shashachtu Bemes, that the people were watching, right? He did something, Rabbi did something that looked like he was shachting Rabbi Zera, and the people there thought he shachted him, he got so nervous, and Rabbi Zera himself got so nervous that he fainted, Mirov Daiga, he passed out, right? When he saw Rabbi coming at him with the knife, he fainted, and everyone, oh my gosh, Rabbi shachted Rabbi Zera. Okay? Very hard to understand such a thing. And the problem with that interpretation is the fact that it says that he revived him, he healed him. It sounds like he actually harmed him in some way. And to even believe that Rabba harmed him, even indirectly, right, that he injured him in some way, that he made him so sick, that he had to daven for him, it's also very hard to understand. The Chassam Sofer, in a tshuva, points out something interesting about Rabba, that we should just note, that the Gemara says, in Masechta Shabbos, that a person who's born under the mazel of Ma'adim, under the constellation of Mars, when Mars is in a certain location in the sky, the Gemara says, depending on when you're born, your mazel will impact the type of personality that you have. So the Gemara says, Hai man de Ma'adim, a person who's born when the stars are aligned with Ma'adim, Mars, Yehei Gvar Ashid Dama, will be a Shofech Damim, will be a blood spiller. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Ana B'Ma'adim. I was born under the astrological arrangement of Ma'adim. So Rabba said, the Gemara is telling us that Rabba had a certain netiya towards blood. Now, by the way, what does the Gemara go on to say? If you're born and you have an inclination towards blood, so if you're a tzaddik, you become a mo'el. If you're a good person, you become a doctor. Right? If you're a rasha, you become a murderer. So the Chassam Sofer points out, it's interesting, that Rabba, who apparently at this Purim Suda murdered Rabbi Zera, was actually born under a mazel, which has an inclination towards spilling blood. But of course, that's also very difficult to imagine. As again, Rav Yaakov Emden points out, the fact that Rabba was born under the mazel of Ma'adim doesn't mean that you're going to become a murderer, as the Gemara itself points out. You could become a moel, you could become a doctor, become a neurosurgeon. There's a lot of ways to be osek in blood without becoming a murderer. And he quotes here, of course, the Rambam, who says that even though a person is born with certain natural inclinations, that doesn't mean that a person has to become that. So again, at the end of the day, we're kind of left scratching our head, right? We have the Marsha's interpretation that he got him very sick to the point that he was like he was choking. We have the Yaivitz who said some type of achiza seinayim. It looked like he was shechting him, and Rabbi Zera himself got so startled that he passed out. We have the Chassam Sofer who's telling us that maybe Rabba had a certain inclination towards blood, but it's hard to imagine. Rabba was a great tzaddik. It's hard to imagine that, God forbid, that he could actually come to harm him. And Chevra, what was the end of the story? The end of the story we also have to deal with. What was the end of the story? The end of the story is that Rabba says to Rabbi Zera, would you like to come back to my Purim Suda next year? And what was his response? His response was, well, miracles don't happen all the time. So what was Rabbi Zera saying? Rabbi Zera says the Bava Rebbe was essentially saying, I would love to come to your Suda. In theory, right? I had a great time. I'd love to come to your Suda, but I'm just nervous that, you know, this time maybe you won't be able to bring me back. It's as if, like, Rabbi Zera says, like, for a technical reason, I don't think I should come, but in theory, I would love to come back. If I had a guarantee that, you know, a miracle would happen and I would make it through safely, I would come, because it was great. It was awesome last year. What was awesome? He almost got killed, right? Very strange, again. The way that he responds to him is itself very, very strange. It's extremely strange. Okay? I would come, but I'm nervous that, you know, something could go wrong. So friends, we got to try to figure out what's going on here. Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that some say that perhaps the whole story never really happened. Maybe it's just, you know, a lesson. It's a lesson in Ruchnius, right? Some try to explain it that way. And he quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra where it talks about, you know, that an Arab took someone to see the souls of the Jews who died in the wilderness on the way out of Mitzrayim, and they appeared like they were intoxicated, which of course is not literally intoxicated, so maybe they didn't actually get intoxicated. Bava Chevi says, you can't remove the story from the Pashup Pshat. You know why? Because this Gemara is quoted, this story is cited to lend credence one way or another to Rava's statement. What was Rava's statement? Rava's telling us a halacha. Halacha is real world, right? Halacha is not like, you know, cute theoretical ideas. Halacha is how to live your life. Rava says a halacha. What's Rava's halacha? Not Rava. Rava's halacha is mechayiv inish lebesumei bepuraya ad delo yada. Person has to get drunk. And then the Gemara tells a story. So you can't just say, well, the story is just like a mashal. Because the Rishonim look at this story to try to prove whether or not we should get drunk or not on Purim. In fact, there are some Rishonim who use this Gemara to come to what conclusion? That you shouldn't drink on Purim. Rava says you should drink on Purim ad lo yada. And then immediately afterwards, it tells a story that what? It tells a story that some people had too much to drink and it became unbelievably dangerous. So some Rishonim say that story proves we don't paskin like Rava. Can you imagine? No drinking on Purim. The Gemara's point, the whole point of the story is to prove halacha lemaisa, don't paskin like Rava. Rava's mahalach is dangerous. The Bava Chevi says, if you look in the Ran, if you look in the Baal HaMa'or, they quote the famous opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says that from Hahu Uvda, Dekom Rabba v'shachti Rabbi Zera, the reason the Gemara tells this story of Rabba shachting Rabbi Zera, it comes to push away the opinion of Rava and to tell us that the halacha is what? Is not like Rava. You shouldn't drink on Purim. Look how dangerous drinking is. We kind of go back to our normal Torah hashkafa on drinking, right? That drinking is dangerous, and drinking throughout Tanakh is seen as leads to tremendous perversion. So from the fact that the Gemara tells the story, we see it's not the halacha. That's what this is the Rishonim, or Ephraim. So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, if the Rishonim are looking to this story to learn the Maisa, it must be the story has a pshat level to it. It's not just a lesson, Rabbi Rebbe Zera. We have to somehow root it in pshat, root it in reality, and we have to figure out what actually happened at that Purim Suda. Pashut, they got drunk. Rabbi was a real person. Rebbe Zera was a real person. The Suda took place, right? It was a real Suda that took place in Rabbi's house. And they got drunk. Something happened. We need to try to figure out what happened. So when the Gemara says that Kom Rabba v'shachtei Rabbi Zera, then Rabbi Zera, yes, Rabbi Zera's life was in danger. Something happened at that Purim Suda. And again, we need to understand what that could be. Okay? So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, here's what I'd like to suggest. And again, Rabba invites Rabbi Zera back, and Rabbi Zera says, you know, in theory, again, I'd love to join you. It's a little too risky for me, so it was great. I loved it, but I can't do it again. I can't risk it again. What was so great? It sounds like it was a horrific experience. So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, V'yesh lomar. Okay, we're on the bottom of page 466. V'yesh lomar b'zeh behektim hamavur b'inyan misas nadav aviyu. Friends, in order to understand, we have to go back to Parsha Shmini. And we have to think about another tragic death, which was a very holy death, an often misunderstood death. And that, of course, is the death of Nadav and Avihu, the children of Aaron and Cohen. What happened there? What happened with Nadav and Avihu? Chazal explain, Rashi brings it, it's based on the Midrashim, that Mesu, why did Nadav and Avihu die? What did they do? What was their crime? What was their Avera? Mipnei shesuya yayin nichnasu lemikdash. They went into the Beis HaMikdash drunk. They had wine before they went to perform the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. Shemisa zo haisakshura mishtias yayin yoser midai. They had too much to drink, right? And because of that, they died. Now, friends, we need to understand. These were holy people, Nadav and Avihu. They got drunk and then they went to work in the Beis HaMikdash that day. Is that a reasonable thing? Is that possible? Via duhatmiya, says Lubavitch Rebbe, I don't understand. Mefurash bekasov, shemosha amar la'aron. Moshe says to Aaron regarding the death of Nadav and Avihu, bikrovai akadesh. Bikrovai akadesh, Rashi says, achshav roa ani, shem gedola mimeni u'mimcha. Moshe and Aaron, when they were talking about Nadav and Avihu, they said, Nadav and Avihu were even bigger tzaddikim than us. They didn't die. They weren't drunken bums, God forbid. chas v'shalom, to say such a thing. When Moshe and Aaron saw how Nadav and Avihu died, it was viewed as a very holy death. And yet they drank wine, Chazal says, before they went to the Beis HaMikdash. And Moshe and Aaron said, wow, Krovaya Kadesh, wow, they're very close to Hashem, their mamish so holy. So who are, I don't understand. Ketzad yitachin she'atzlam davar bilti ratzui, u'beprat ad kadekach she'yichnesu l'mikdash du'yayayin. So if they're so holy, if Nadav and Avihu are so great, that they're on an even higher level than Moshe and Aaron, so how did they go into the Beis HaMikdash drunk? Who does that? You and I wouldn't do that. And we're nobody compared to Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron are saying Nadav and Avihu are even higher than them. So friends, we have to learn the sugya of Nadav and Avihu properly. And then we can understand Rabba and Rabbi Zera. And it's based on the explanation of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Says the Lubavitch Rebbe, how did the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explain the sugya of Nadav and Avihu? What happened with Nadav and Avihu? Did they actually drink wine? Did they not drink wine? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh tells us a very deep secret. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, Shenadav ve'Avihu meisu, mipnei godel chukasam le'eskarev la'Kadosh Baruch Hu. The death of Nadav and Avihu is not what they taught us when we were little kids. You know, they broke the rules and they crossed the line and they brought in Eish Zara and they drank wine when they went into the Beis HaMikdash, they went into Kodesh Kadashin, whatever they did, whatever claims you've heard, which are true because they're all in the Psukim and the Midrashim, but the Rachayim HaKadosh says it's much more complicated than that. Nadav and Avihu were on fire for Hashem. They were the Eish Zara. Right? They were that foreign fire. They were so on fire for Hashem that they died from this unbelievable tshuka. What is a tshuka? A longing, a desire to be close to Hashem. They couldn't hold back. It's like at Har Sinai, you know, it says that they had to set up boundaries and gvulim, don't cross the line. Why are we making such a big deal not to cross the line? Because when you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu before your eyes, you want to just run to Hashem. You want to leap into a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. You'll disintegrate instantly. You'll return your neshama to Hashem. But they just wanted to be with Hashem. They wanted so badly to be connected to Hashem that they didn't care. They couldn't resist drawing close to Hashem. Look at these beautiful Lashonos, right? They couldn't resist drawing close to cling to Hashem. That sweetness, that friendship, that love, that neshika, right? The kissing. They wanted to be with Hashem. And they did that ad kolos nafshosam mehem, until they mamash lost their lives. Kolos hanefesh, till their souls expired. They wanted so badly to be with Hashem that they ran to Hashem and they died from it. They couldn't be in this world anymore. They wanted too badly to be with Hashem. Bekarvasam, as the Pasuk says, Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamuso. They drew so close to Hashem that the neshama went straight back to Hashem. Hayu shesibas misasam hi, karvasam lifnei Hashem. They died a very holy death, Nadav and Avihu. They were not bad guys at all. They were tzaddikim who couldn't handle this world. They were on such a high, lofty level of dveikus b'Hashem. So now, friends, what does that mean that they got drunk? What does it mean, shtuya yayin nichnasu l'mikdash, that they went into the Beis HaMikdash after drinking wine? So here's where Lubavitch Rebbe shows us his unbelievable brilliance, where Lubavitch Rebbe says you have to be able to handle both a pshat, at the same time to understand there's something deeper. They drank wine. Yes, they drank wine. And just like Rabbi and Rabbi Zera will come back to, they had a Purim Suda. He says, it wasn't all Inyan Ruchni. It happened. It was a real story. Nadav and Avihu were real people, and they actually drank wine. But the idea of drinking wine also has a deeper dimension to it. Says in the Lubavitch Rebbe, you know what Shtuya Yayin Nichnasu L'Mikdash means? Hakavana Beyayin Hi L'Sodos Upnimiyas HaTorah. Wine, and this will help us to better understand the depths of Purim, wine is always merames to what? To the deeper dimensions of Torah. The yena shel Torah. You take a grape and you squeeze out something and it undergoes a transformation and it goes from being a berei priya eitz to a yayin. It becomes berei priya guffin. It becomes elevated. It becomes more expensive. Its quality becomes enhanced. As we know from the Gemara in Eruvin, Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod, right? The same way that when we drink wine, our secrets come out. Sometimes a person loses their inhibition and they share more openly. So that's the very essence of yayin. Yayin brings out sodos. So yayin brings out secrets. Just like actual wine brings out that which is hidden in the hearts of man, there's something called the yena shel Torah, the secrets of Torah, the wine of Torah. So therefore, shtuya yayin means that Nadav and Avihu got so high on Torah. They drank wine, yes, they drank wine, and we'll have to figure out how to bring together the pshat and the pnimius here. But the shtuya yayin means that they revealed such deep madregos of Torah that they simply could not be sovel this world anymore. Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu. They got beyond. You know, there's a story that Rav Kook one time was up north somewhere. He was spending some time up north, northern Israel. And Rav Kook was very makbid in the morning not to speak before davening. And Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap sees Rav Kook in the morning. They're staying at some type of place. I'm not sure exactly, some type of hotel or whatever. And he sees Rav Kook in the morning before Shacharis talking to the person at the desk who was running this Malone. And he's asking him about different types of plants that grow in the area. Rav Kook's like, oh, and what's with this? And what's with this tree? Oh, what's with these flowers? It's very interesting, this plant. He's talking about all the botany in the area, all the agricultural life in there. And it was very uncharacteristic. Rav Kook was very makbid not to say anything before davening in the morning. So Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap asked Rav Kook, he's like, what's the pshat? Why are you having these, you're talking about the beautiful things that Hashem created in this world. I understand, everything's Torah with the right perspective, but you don't usually have any conversations before davening. So Rav Kook said, I felt from our conversations last night, he said to Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, I felt that from our late night conversations last night, they were talking Torah and who knows what, pnimius haTorah, deep secrets. He said, I felt that I was so on fire for Hashem this morning that if I would have davened, if I would have gone straight into my davening, I really felt that I would not have survived. Rav Kook said, my neshama was so on fire for Hashem. My mamash would have been Nadav and Avihu. My neshama just would have left. I would not have been able to bring it back down. You know, it says in Halacha, Shulchan Aruch says that when you daven Shemona Esrei, it's supposed to be an out-of-body experience. By tzaddikim, it is. And it's a very delicate thing to get your neshama back into your body. Most of us don't have that problem. Right? But it is a Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, believe it or not. Which means it is possible to achieve such a thing. Rav Kook said, I was so afraid that I was so on fire for Hashem that I was scared that if I would have gone straight into my shachris, mamish kolos hanefesh, that would have been the end of me. So I had to kind of bring things down a little bit. I had to engage in sort of mundane things a little bit, to engage the world a little bit in a way that I don't usually do, just to kind of, to cool off a little bit so that I don't die during my Shemona Esrei. Okay, again, most of us don't have that problem. But Nadav and Avihu had that problem. Nadav and Avihu were so on fire for Hashem that shtuya yayin, yes, they drank wine, which of course, on a pashup shot means a bittul of their chushim, a loss of senses, which again is really what they were experiencing spiritually as well. They got entered into higher realms of Torah to the point that they were gone, they were beyond. And therefore, v'lachein la'achrei ma'orizeh, what does the Torah say after the tragic story of Nadav and Avihu? The Torah says, yayin v'shechar al teisht. Aaron is told, an iser, kohanim, be careful. Don't do the avoda when you're drunk. Now that's a halacha, right? So obviously they must have had actual wine to drink. Otherwise the Torah would not state a halacha after they died from drinking wine. Don't drink wine when you do the avoda. But they're both true. The combination is true. The combination of don't drink wine when you're doing the avoda. But of course, the drinking of the wine of Nadav and Avihu is revealing to us that the drinking of the wine was really about what? Getting into a deeper place in terms of being able to reveal Sodos HaTorah. And look how the Shlach HaKadosh, continuing on the next page, page 468, look how the Shlach HaKadosh explains how these two realms come together. V'yesh lomar perish hadavar, she'etzel nada ve'avihu ha'isashtiyas hayayin kipshuta, the simple pshat of actually drinking wine was kashura im gilua yayin shabatorah, was connected to the revealing of the secrets of the Torah. As the Shlach HaKadosh explains, take a look. Sometimes, says the Shlach HaKadosh, we see Kadoshim Asher Ba'aretz, we see holy people, Sheshasu lefamim harbe yosir midai besudos gedolos. Sometimes a big rebbe or a group of rebbes will get together and they'll have a lot to drink. Why? They like drinking alcohol. They like the feeling of being drunk. Why would they do that? Haisa kavanasam bazel l'shem shamayim. Explains the Shlach HaKadosh because there are tzaddikim who use the physical substance of alcohol in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and a tzaddik knows how to access it in a holy way. That what? Ki mitoch mishta hayayin have a mibad chetuva. By drinking wine, it puts them in a very good mood. Umitoch kach omrim divrei Torah ala shulchan harbe ma'od. And then all of a sudden, and you've seen this, if you've ever seen a real tzaddik on Purim, right? If you've ever seen a real tzaddik, you know, who had too much to drink, what's pouring out of him? Mamish, secrets of Torah. Unbelievable, things that you wouldn't be able to get. Rebbe, you know, reveal to us something about Mashiach. Not allowed to say. But when he's in this state, all of a sudden he's saying things which are Megala Sodos HaTorah. Demitoch Simcha Megala HaChacham Razeh HaTorah. That through the Simcha, this tzaddik, this Chacham is revealing secrets of Torah. Because simcha causes the mind to open up. True simcha. Not drunken foolishness. But true simcha allows the mind to be expansive. And in such a state, new chidushim come out. Nichlas yayin yatsa sod, in the truest way that the Gemara means. When the wine goes in, the secrets of Torah come out. Shal yedei mishta hayayin yatsu divrei Torah hanikre sod, says the Shlach HaKadosh. That's what happened to Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu bekrovai akadesh. They were kadoshim mamish. They were mamish the holiest. They were so holy. But they weren't able to what? They weren't able to bring it back down to this world. And therefore they experienced kalos hanefesh. So now, with all of that understanding of the sugya of Nadav and Avihu, now friends, let's come back to Rabbi and Rabbi Zera and let's find out what happened at the suda of Rabbi and Rabbi Zera. So did they actually drink? Did they not drink? What happened? Did he die? Did he not die? Says Lubavitch Rebbe, it's such a beautiful pshat in this very bothersome Gemara, that all the Mefarshim, again, the Marsha, and Rav Yaakov Emdin, and the Chassam Sofer, everyone's trying to figure out, what on earth happened with Rabbi and Rabbi Zera? But with this backdrop of Nadav and Avihu, friends, now we can begin to understand Rabbi and Rabbi Zera. And we'll understand, again, both the dangers and the opportunities of drinking on Purim. Val Pizeh Yesh Lomar, Shizo Haisagam Sibas Misas Rabbi Zera. Friends, this is what happened to Rabbi Zera at the Suda with Rabba. Shahais al derech misas Nadav Avihu. In many ways, it paralleled the experience of Nadav and Avihu. Like we explained, Shachte, Hainu, like the Marsha said, yes, the Marsha was correct. He did give him too much to drink. The Agvre Chamra, he overloaded on his wine. Lishtos Yosir Midai. He did drink too much. V'chala lenota lamus. And he was what? He was starting to, like the Marsha said, he was nearly dead. What does that mean? Lo al yedei hayayin hagashmi. It's not that Rabbi Zera, God forbid, couldn't handle the alcohol, but it's that Rabbi Zera, when he had so much wine to drink, he started accessing higher spiritual levels. To the point that he was approaching kalos hanefesh, the expiring of the soul. Al yedei rov shtia shel yayin, through the giloy of soda satora. Rabbi Zeira at that Purim Suda was reaching such high spiritual levels that there was a chashash that he's not going to survive. And that's a real thing by tzaddikim. Umikol makom ein zeh motzi ha'inyan midei pshuto. So again, all of this work, says Lubavitch Rebbe, we're still keeping it within the pashup shot that yes, he drank wine, just like Avihu drank wine. And Rabbi Zeira, yes, Rabbi Zeira almost physically died. Right? But he didn't physically die from the alcohol. He almost physically died from the spiritual levels that he accessed. And therefore, yes, Rabbeinu Avraham Purim is dangerous. So yes, he was in physical danger, but again, the physical danger wasn't from alcohol consumption. His physical danger was that he wouldn't be able to get his neshama back into his body because he was accessing such lofty levels of ruchnis. So now we understand Ulefiza Muvan Heitev, so now we understand very well. She'ein kan abazrayu shel shvichas damim chas v'shalom klal. There's not even abazrayu, means even a trace. There's not even a trace of murder here, God forbid. Rabba didn't kill Rabbi Zera. Rabba helped Rabbi Zera to access higher levels of Torah, to reach higher than perhaps his own madrega, as we're about to explain. Uvizem uvu erez gam hadgashas hagamara ibsum. What does it mean, ipsum? Nishtakru. They became drunk. Why does it say they became drunk? Sherab of Rabbi Zera Shneim Nishtakru. They both had too much to drink. What does that mean? Sheshichra Shneim Garma Lekom Rabba Shachte Rabbi Zera. It was the drinking of both of them that caused Rabba to get up and Shechter Bizera. What does that mean? What's he explaining? Listen to what he says. Friends, listen to what he's saying. It's specifically that Rabba and Rabbi Zera were not on the same spiritual level. And now the Lubavitcher explains something unbelievable. Take a look. What does it mean that Rabba got up? Why does the Gemara say, come, he stood up. He stood up and he shechted Rabbi Zera. What does that mean? And why is it emphasizing they both got drunk? And since they were both drunk, Rabba got up and he shechted Rabbi Zera. What does that mean? So what it means is, again, like the Shlach Kodesh told us, when tzaddikim get together and they drink wine, and they start to reveal deeper secrets of Torah, the neshama starts to get closer and closer to higher realms leaving this world, to the point that, yes, it's possible that a person could come ad kalos hanefesh, to the point that the soul expires, a point of ad lo yada, a point beyond this world. Now, Rabba and Rabbi Zera were not on the same spiritual level. Rabba was on a higher level than Rabbi Zera. In fact, the Lubavitch Rebbe says so remarkably, it's alluded to in their very names. Rabba means the great one. Zera, or as he's called in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Rabbi Zeira, Ze'er means what? Small one. So take a look. Aval af sheshneim nishtakru. Yes, they both had what to drink. Bikol makom, rak eitzel Rabbi Zera balizeh kalos nefesh mamish. But only Rabbi Zera came to the point where his soul was about to expire, literally. Rabbi Zera was in danger and Rabba was not. Why? Ki Rabba hayo lo seichel Rav Yoser. Because Rabba had, well, we've referenced this concept before, mochen de gadlus. Rabba had more expansive consciousness. Rabba was a bigger soul and he could handle tasting higher realms without going crazy, without leaving this world. Rabba could handle the type of light, the type of Torah that was being revealed at that Purim Suda. Rabbi Zeira, on the other hand, was not able to handle it. Rabba is a lashon of godless. Zeira is a lashon of katnus. He couldn't handle it. And therefore, Rabbi Zeira approached kalos hanefesh mamish. Rabbi Zeira's life was in danger. To the point that what? That he crossed that line. Kipshuto. So his friend Rabba had to daven for him to bring him back down. So what does it mean? Now we understand a little bit more about this. Rabba went up and shachtei l'Rabbi Zera. What is shachtei? Why a lashon of shchita? So it says the Lubavitch Rebbe, the top of page 469. I'll tell you what it means, shchita. The Gemara in Chulin tells us, ein v'shachat ela umashach. Shchita is a lashon, the Gemara says, when it's talking in Meseches Chulin, daf lamed, when it's talking about how to actually shecht an animal. The Gemara says, shchita means drawing, because you draw the knife across the neck of the animal. You have to do it in a smooth motion. You can't do it in a choppy way. It's not tearing, it's not pulling, it's drawing, smooth. So shchita is a lashon of what? Of meshicha, of drawing. So what does it mean, Rabba shechted Rabbi Zera? What it means is, hainu shetochan inyan shchita hu meshicha hala. To draw means to draw. He was drawing him up. Rabba was ascending. And as Rabba reached higher levels spiritually, Rabbi Zera was holding on to his Rebbe, his Chavrusa, but his Rebbe. He was holding on to Rabba, and he kept trying to ascend higher and higher levels with him. Shekein al yedei shchita. Just like, how does shchita lift up an animal? Who could tell me how shchita lifts up an animal? How does shchita lift up an animal? We know that within the world, right, there's domain, there's inanimate objects, there's plant life, then there's animals, then there's human beings, right, and then there's really Klal Yisrael. But when something is lifted up, it has the ability to be transformed from a lower level to a higher level. So when you shecht an animal, you know what happens? Now you can eat the animal. The animal was once an animal, now you're about to put it into a person. So it's going from the level of being an animal to being almost like a person. So it's being drawn up. That's what shchita is doing. It's giving it the possibility to be raised up spiritually. So the animal goes from being an animal, so to speak, and now it has access to the level of Adam. It gets pulled up. That's what shchita is. That's why it's called shchita. It draws up. Like a person drawing water. What does it mean to draw water? It means to bring up the water. So now, friends, Kom Rabba shachtel Rabbi Zeira. What does it mean that Rabba shachted Rabbi Zeira? It means that as Rabba had more wine to drink and was revealing deeper and deeper Torahs, he kept reaching higher and higher levels, and Rabbi Zeira was getting pulled along, and he wanted to come along. Why do they want to come along? Because who doesn't want that experience, that dveikus, that kirvas Hashem? So he was getting pulled along, but the problem was that Rabba could handle it, and Rabbi Zeira couldn't. Like Nadav and Aviyu, who couldn't bring it back down to this world. And therefore, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kom Rabba, Rabba got up means exactly that. Mahu Kom Rabba. What does it mean Rabba got up? In what sense did he get up? Explains Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kima Mora Aliyaso. He was reaching higher and higher levels. And Rabbi Zeira was getting pulled along. But the problem was that Rabbi Zeira couldn't handle those revelations at the Purim Surah. He wanted it so bad. He wanted so badly to cling to Rabba, to have access to higher realms of Torah, of Pnimius, of Dveikus. But he couldn't handle it, to the point that what? That his life became dangerous. His life became dangerous. So now, Chevra, so let's look. Ulechora, so says Lubavitcher Rebbe, Eich Yavi Rabbis Rebbe Zera Lachalos HaNefesh. So Rabba, this is irresponsible, you know? Why are you revealing such a deep Torah to someone who's not on a level to receive such a Torah? Right? Isn't that the opposite of the kavanah of creation? Isn't the purpose of creation, like the Navi Yeshaya says, l'sheves yitzra, that Hashem made the world to be settled? Our job is not to be spiritually suicidal. Our job, right? What did Rav Kook do that morning? I told you, Rav Kook that morning, when he felt like his neshama was going to fly out of his body if he davened, so he brought it back down a level. Nadav and Aviyu, on the one hand, they're such tzaddikim that they gave back their neshamas to Hashem, but on the other hand, it was also what they did. And it was a tragedy for Aaron and for Moshe Rabbeinu, for the whole family. So how could Rabba be so irresponsible with his secrets of Torah? How could he drag up his neshama in such a way? How did he do such a thing? The goal of creation is to keep it in the body, to keep your neshama in your body. Uva omek yosar yesh lomar. And maybe to say it another way. Kevan shir Rabba haya bekocho. Lif'ol va'achye. What was the end of the story? Since Rabba was able to what? To bring Rabbi Zeira back. Lahachzer nishos Rabbi Zeira legufo, lachein lo hayaze b'stira lakavana dineshamos begufim dafka. The fact that Rabba knew that I can take Rabbi Zeira to a level beyond this world, but I can bring him up, but I can also bring him down. So Rabba felt maybe it's okay. Ki kalos hanefesh itzel Rabbi Zeira hayirach inyan arai, right? Maybe for Purim, I understand all year round I can't take Rabbi Zeira to such a madrega. But on Purim, I'll take him for a ride. I'll fly, I'll soar in the highest realms, and I'll bring my chavrus, Rabbi Zeira, along for the ride. And I'll make sure that even though it's a shtickle dangerous, but okay, it's for Purim, we can do it. And I'll make sure to bring him back. And that's what he did, right? The next day, after Purim, he davened for him, and he brought him back to good health. He brought him back to this world. So now, friends, we understand what happened the following year. What happened next year? What happened the next year? What was the end of the story in the Gemara and Megillah? The end of the story was, he said, "Nu, you want to come to the Purim Suda again? We had a good time last year, no? We accessed Torah like never before." So now we understand what Rabbi Zera's response was. And this is the part that we have to listen very, very carefully. Halacha l'maisa. What was Rabbi Zera's response to Rabba? Rabba, it was unbelievable. The Torah was getting too high. Did anyone else's Zoom just go down? Or that was just me?
It's Kalos HaNefesh. Kalos HaNefesh of Zoom.
Kalos HaNefesh of Zoom Mamish. Wow. Lubavitcher Rebbe is revealing too much. Okay, so we're Mamish up to the last step. It's amazing. All right, it's funny. It's a crazy hashkacha. Okay, friends. That's so strange that just happened to me. I don't know why that happened to mine. Mamish. My internet didn't go down. Like, my Zoom just went down. That was very strange. Okay. No, so where are we? Hold on. So let's get the... Okay, Hashem, we're doing it L'shem Shemayim. Go easy on us, okay? Not trying to cause trouble over here. Oh, so friends, the last step. Here we go. So Rabba invites Rabbi Zeira back, right? And he's not embarrassed to invite him back, right? At this point, we understand. I mean, even if let's say the Purim Suda went crazy last year and he accidentally harmed him, he'd be embarrassed to invite him back. He invites him back as Lecharchila because he says, come on, let's do it again. Let's experience, right? Let's experience that awesome revelation of Purim. Now, it was dangerous though last year. Why would he invite him again? So either he felt, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that it was okay to try to reach beyond on Purim, maybe that's allowed. Or maybe he says, oh, ba'ofen acher k'tzas, maybe you could say, that Rabbi thought, shebemeshach hashana, hisala l'Rebbe Zera l'madrega elyona yoser. Maybe over the course of the year, Rebbe Zera got to a higher level, and now maybe he can handle it. But friends, listen to the last paragraph, because it's so important. What does he respond? What does Rebbe Zera respond? And this is the balance we have to try to strike on Purim. On the one hand, we're given rishus to reach higher on Purim. But at the same time, Rebbe Zera says, what was the Gemara's answer? Rebbe Zera said, lo b'chol shata v'shata misrachesh nisa. Miracles don't happen all the time. What does that mean? Hu chafetz umishtokek le'iloy dekalos hanefesh. Of course, there's a part of me that wishes I could come along for the ride again. I would love to. Umishum ze hayerotza laruch sudas purim biyachad im rabba gam hashana. I would love, Rabba, it was unbelievable. I never experienced Torah like that. I never experienced dveikas b'Hashem like that. I never experienced myself like that. I never felt my own neshama like that. Aval afal pichin, mikevan shetachles hakavana hu neshamos begufim. And here's the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the way of Chabad thinking, and the way that Chabad understands Torah Sval Shem Tov as really the hallmark of Chasidus, of Pnimius HaTorah, is what? Is dira b'tachtonim. Is to make sure that what? That we give Hashem a dwelling space in this world. Hashem has plenty of angels. Hashem doesn't need our neshama. Hashem put our neshama in this world because He wants us in this world. And therefore, as much as Rabbi Zera says, I wish I could soar in the highest heavens with you, and that's how Nadav and Avihu gave back their souls, Rabbi Zera, with personal Mesiras Nefesh, says, but I know Hashem wants neshama beguf. Hashem wants a neshama to stay in this world. I'm nervous. What if I'm not able to get back this year? What if I can't get my neshama back in my body? I know we pulled it off last year. And that's a shtickel nace. And I can't risk that. You know why? Because more important than anything is that Hashem wants me to what to be a yid in this world. Hashem gives us the opportunity to access higher realms. But at the end of the day, Hashem put a neshama in a body, an indira b'tachtonim, in the physical world, because that's where Hashem wants us to be more than anywhere else. So it concludes the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Hinei la halacha, halacha la maisa. How do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch says, chayev inish lebesume b'puraya adlo yadam. Shulchan Aruch paskins, we do drink on Purim. And we're not nervous that if something, God forbid, bad is going to come from it. But at the same time, we have to realize that what? That there is a danger. Right? There is a possibility. There's obviously a physical danger, and I hope I don't have to even emphasize that, but obviously, you know, you have to be physically safe. But even spiritually, right? It could be confusing. Purim could be a very confusing day. But we have to be able to take advantage of that opportunity in a way that allows us to so to speak, bring it back into our regular life. While the drinking of wine, yes, means literally drinking wine on Purim, but the ad lo yada of Purim is that a Jew tries to touch a part of his soul that he normally can't access. The hainu lil ma'ofen de'ba'avasa tishke tamid, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, right? To become intoxicated, madly in love with wine, with sodos haTorah, that I want to experience deeper. I'm open to feeling Hashem differently in my life. Ad shemagia lamatzav shel shosu bitul mitziuso, as the Nesiva Shalom said. One of the Slanim Rebbe said, "Mechayiv inish lebesumei mit drunk from Purim, to be intoxicated with Purim, lebesumei bipuraya, be intoxicated with Purim. What does it mean to be intoxicated with Purim? To be drunk on the opportunity of the sodas haTorah, of feeling my neshama in a deep way. Shebepurim nitein koach lechol echad veechad miYisrael, each person in their own way, in accordance with his madrega, lekayim shtiya zu ulagil ledveikas kazu besodas haTorah." Wow, Yaakov, an amazing picture. Then on Purim, let's show the guys. On Purim, you're able to what? You're able to access, it's beautiful. You're able to access a part of your neshama that's mamish beyond. Right? To be able to become intoxicated with Dveikus Bashem, with Pnimius HaTorah. To have a little bit of a precious mina olam, to separate from this world. Of course, with the goal of eventually Leshevis Yitzrav, coming back down to this world. And that's why, of course, we have to make sure, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that we're nechnas b'shalom v'yatza b'shalom, which he's paraphrasing a statement from the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva and his friends who accessed the Pardes, who entered into the higher realms, and it got dangerous for some of those great Tanaim. Right? But Mishen Nechnas Yayin Yatza Sod, we have to make sure that Nechnas B'Shalom, V'Yatza B'Shalom. That we imbibe the wine the proper way, we consume the wine in a way that's truly L'Shem Shemayim, and we make sure that we're able to emerge from that experience more spiritually, spiritually fortified than when we started the process. But to make sure that we come out, you know, spiritually intact. Because Purim, again, it's a hard thing. You're touching something higher. And Rabbah pulled Shachta the Mizera. Come, Rabbah, Shachta the Mizera. He got up and he pulled the Mizera along for the ride. And every one of us is, in a sense, is being pulled by Purim. But we have to do it in a way that allows us, again, to experience something deeper, something bigger. But at the same time, to make sure that we fulfill the ultimate tachlis of the universe, which is neshama beguf, to bring it back down to this world. Okay, so what an amazing Torah from the Halig Lubavitch Rebbe. From you can see here, it's from Parsha Shmini Tazria Tafshin Mem Dalid Mem 1984. Mamish, an amazing hezver of a Gemara, and the way he weaves together both the halacha and the pasha pshat of the story, along with the deeper message of the story, is the brilliance and the mastery of the Halig Lubavitch Rebbe, Zechuso Yagen Aleinu.